This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It has been quite the 72 hours deep inside the plumbing of this global economy. And that is where we are going to spend our time on the program today, because that's where the financial and economic fight over Ukraine is happening. We begin with the most basic element of any economy, the means of exchange, what you hand over to get something you want, the currency, a dollar, the euro, the yen, or the ruble. And the ruble today is the first and most prominent casualty of the sanctions the West has put in place over the weekend and this morning. Traded down more than 25% today as the Russian central bank has been cut off from the $630 billion or so in foreign reserves it has, some not small part of which is parked in banks and institutions not inside Russia. And that, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains to get us going, is going to make it difficult, if not impossible, for Moscow to protect its currency.
Russia began building up its foreign exchange reserves, now totaling nearly $650 billion, after it invaded Crimea in 2014 as a hedge against future financial sanctions. Let's go through how that's supposed to work. Usman Mandeng is at the London School of Economics.
Central banks, you know, they hold foreign exchange reserves
in banks in foreign countries.
The name is a little bit misleading because it's not foreign exchange in the sense of currencies. You see, it's not that there are banknotes in their vaults, but typically these are securities that they would have to liquidate first.
Say, U.S. stocks or German bonds that Russia would sell, turning them into dollars or euros.
And then they can use these bank balances to intervene, for example, in the foreign exchange market.
Using those dollars or euros to buy rubles to try and prop up the currency. But
while in theory you are the owner of the security, well, in the event of sanctions, there are limitations as to your access to your securities.
So it's like they're blocked in, and no one, international bankers, stockbrokers, currency traders, can break them out.
And the point of these sanctions is to make it impossible for Russia to use its reserves.
Karen Petru is a managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington, D.C. She points out the U.S. and European authorities are freezing, not seizing, Russia's foreign exchange reserves.
It doesn't take anything from Russia. Russia still has its reserves, but it can't use them. They're useless. They're meaningless. They're no longer a resource for a stable Russian system and the war in Ukraine.
Now, there is one significant loophole to these sanctions, and that's for buying oil and gas. And that does give Russia a little wiggle room, says Patrick Honohan, former governor of the Central Bank of Ireland, now a fellow at the Peterson Institute.
Flows matter more importantly than reserves. So this flow of revenue coming into Russia from gas and petroleum exports will keep them going.
That may help Russia keep food in stores and maintain the flow of some crucial imports into the country, but it won't do anything to help the ruble. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.